We are doing a debt takeover show, and we'll be chatting with Leslie Tain. She's a consumer finance expert. She's an attorney, and she literally wrote the book on debt. She's the author of Life and Debt, A Fresh Approach to Achieving Financial Wellness. And I know a lot of you have it because I have some incredible facts about debt. Maybe not all that incredible, but the article said jaw-dropping. So here we go. A recent survey, this was just published this year, found that 30% of Americans have about $5,000 in credit card debt, 15% have more than $5,000, and about 6% have more than 10% or $10,000 in credit card debt. And look, that may not seem like a lot, like 6%, but that means that 14 million Americans have over $10,000 of credit card debt. And I know that may seem insurmountable. I know people that have way more than that, somewhere in the $50,000 range. But it can be tackled, and there are ways to do it. 33% of Americans believe that it will take more than 2 years to pay off their credit card debt. 5% say it'll take 5 years. And 3% of people out there with credit card debt say they will never be able to pay it off. 15% of Americans have been in credit card debt for over 15 years, which is a pretty high number as well. Nearly half of Americans need credit cards to cover essential living expenses. 45% of Americans have taken on more credit card debt throughout the pandemic, and most Americans have missed at least one credit card payment in their lifetime. So, if you have some debt and you would like some tips for how to get rid of it, 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and we will get the expert on the line after we take a break in just a few moments. We do have a question of the day today, and we do have a t-shirt already in, right, to be able to give away. Yep, that's on the prize list for a WGN anniversary t-shirt. And here's the question. We're talking about debt, so now I'm talking about debts and state debt. Which state in the United States has the highest debt per resident? So not the state with the most debt overall in terms of money-wise, but what state has the highest debt per resident? 312-981-7200 if you've got a guess there. I do have one other story that kind of made me, I don't know, not surprised, but I guess it's important. Airbnb with some news today, and this really affects the Your Money Matters team here because I was really going to take you all out for a party. Airbnb is permanently banning parties at their establishments. So Mary, Kevin, and Lauren, I'm sorry, I was going to have the inaugural Your Money Matters party, but that's going to have to wait for another year, guys, or I'll have to go to another hotel or something.
Another delayed party.
I know. They did this in 2020 because there were so many, you guys remember the news is like, you know, during the pandemic, people, especially here, there was a ton of them in Chicago, were hosting these giant parties.
Well, hotels were doing it, too.
Oh, yeah. And that's where people would go to try and have a party. And it was at Airbnb places. So they said they've really upped their rules and regulations regarding parties. There's a 24-hour safety line. And they say that in Illinois, there were 72% fewer reports of parties this past year than the year before. So they say that's working, and they're going to make that permanent. So basically, there's a 16-person occupancy cap at any Airbnb establishment. So I know there's only four of us, but, you know, I was figuring we'd bring some other people as well, Iridian and others, so I'm just going to have to say we'll do it.
So now we'll
time.
Just do it at your permanent residence?
Yeah, just go to my
I'll get the keg, all
right? Right, yeah, exactly. I have a 10-person cap in my residence, but if you're bringing a keg, that certainly counts. All right, we're going to bust your debt in just a little bit, but let's get a look at weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld. I want to make sure people get on the line if they have any questions about debt. 312-981-7200. If you're in it, how much you're in it, and we'll get you a plan, hopefully, to get out of it. And here to help out with that is Leslie Tain. She's a consumer finance expert and attorney at Tain Law Group. She was on just a couple weeks ago and was so good at explaining everything. I feel like we had to bring her back again. Leslie, thanks for hopping on the program with us.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, for sure. And just let me make sure that I give you a shout out here for the book Life and Debt. Talk us a little bit about that book.
Sure. So Life and Debt, the book, is a book I wrote about basically learning to love your debt, learning to live with it, and being able to embrace it and make it work for you.
And I imagine that it's hard to like do a one-size-fits-all plan for everybody, but I'm sure, you know, in your research and in writing it, you found some universal truths that can help anyone, no matter if they have, you know, a couple thousand dollars worth of debt or they're tens of thousands of dollars in debt, to find ways to, you know, psychologically understand it and get better at paying it down.
No doubt. There is an underlying and common denominator amongst and the challenges that people face with debt is really just, in many cases, a misunderstanding of debt in and of itself and how to manage debt. And really, like you said, the psychological aspect, the thought process that goes into having debt and taking on debt and what that means and how it impacts you. So I broke that down in a very simple way and made it so that it's a primer in the world of debt.
I imagine you've dealt with and talked with people who are pretty far in debt and to the point where they may not even know exactly how much they are in debt because they don't want to look at it.
That's true. Most people, in fact, I would say the majority that I speak with don't actually know the amount of debt that they're in. And when I ask that question, which is one of the first questions asked of a potential client, how much debt do you have? Almost 9 out of 10 times it's underestimated. And there's a number of reasons for that, but it is very common that individuals don't know exactly how much debt they owe.
Right, because they probably haven't looked at it in a while. It's like looking at your retirement accounts these days. You're not supposed to do it too much, and you might have less than you realize. But I think that having that clear understanding has got to be that first important step.
That, and there's a natural deterrent to looking at debt, especially when you're having challenges meeting your requirements. So when you start to not be able to meet the obligations that you have, there's a natural tendency to not look at the debt, not count how much. And in reality, when you're paying credit card bills and other bills, it's just the payment. It's not the total amount of debt that you owe or that you're obligated to. It's a payment each month. And the same goes true for the exact payment. Most people don't know how much they actually pay out each month in debt-related payments.
Yeah, and I'm sure, and I think a lot of people might say, how could you not know? Well, you know, for most Americans, you ask, what's your monthly expenses? How much do you spend each month? People might have a guesstimate, but, you know, the reality is the vast majority of us don't have a detailed budget, right?
That's correct. The majority do not actually have a budget, and it's one of the things that I discuss and tackle in the book, Life in Debt, simply because budgeting is really a dirty word. It involves math. It involves all kinds of concepts that people don't want to manage or deal with, and it's understandable why, first of all, it's not natural. It doesn't come as a second nature to most people. It's not something that was taught by parents, grandparents, or households. It wasn't taught in school to most generations, so it's not something that comes supernaturally. And remember, it's certainly not taught to children. So when you first become an adult and you start taking on responsibilities, budgeting becomes a new concept, and that budget has to be revisited on a pretty periodic basis. And life gets in the way of that. So, and without the background to be comfortable with the process of budgeting, it's something that just gets neglected.
For sure. All right. First question from the 708 area code wants to know, they have 4 different credit cards of varying amounts of debt between $1,000 and $8,000. What do, should they continue making payments on all 4 of them? Should they just up their minimum payment by $100 for each of them? Or should they try and tackle one at a time?
Okay, so when you have the 4 different cards that you're spending on, the question becomes, what are you using the cards for? Are you supplementing your income with the credit cards? If you are supplementing the income with the credit cards, the underlying issue is cash flow. When you have that underlying issue of cash flow, it's going to be very challenging to pay down those credit cards. There are several different methods to pay down credit cards. One method called the snowball method or the debt avalanche method is the second one. Those are 2 different methods that people try to utilize in terms of paying down debt. Some tackle the highest interest and some tackle the lowest balances. So it's really up to you, up to the individual, and you have to take a look at your budget and determine what can you afford to pay, what are you charging on that card every single month, and what's the underlying issue that you continue to use the credit card. And then you can make a good decision about how to pay them down.
So it's you identify one of the 4. So the snowball would be you identify one of the 4. You still make the minimum payments, obviously. You don't want to not make those on the other 3.
Absolutely.
And then it's just what? Every spare dollar you can, you throw at that one that you've identified first?
Well, it depends on what's happening in your budget. If you have the extra money, your goal is to pay down the credit card debt and you're not using them, putting extra money towards that will help pay it down. Because remember, your minimum payment is less than the interest you're paying on the credit cards. It's generally between 2 and 4%. So if you're only making the minimum payment, it's designed for a very long-term payoff, in many cases, almost 30 years. So if you're going to continue to add to those cards by charging on them, it's going to make it difficult to pay them down. And you are absolutely correct. You must continue to make your minimum payments. If you miss the minimum payments, you will have you'll have additional late fees. You can have over limit fees. You could end up being in default. And then after 30 days, it could impact your credit. So you definitely want to keep up with the minimum payments for sure. But in terms of adding more money to those cards, it's a great idea to add more money to those cards and pay them down as best you can. But it's also a really good idea to try not to use them because the interest rates are super high. And if you continue to pay minimum payments and you add to the balances, it's going to make it more challenging to pay it off.
312-981-7200. Call in with your questions. You can keep texting them in too. The 815 wants to know, what's the best way to see your total debt amount?
That's a really good question. The best way to see your total debt amount may not be on your credit report. So, yes, the credit reports are one way to see your debt and how much was owed as of the last reporting cycle. So that's one way. But the best way is really to take a look at, to start writing it down. I really like the old school method of writing it with a pen or a piece of paper. But if you're more comfortable on a tablet or a computer, start keeping track of what you're paying out every single month. Where does your money go? What bills are you paying? What's coming in terms of bills? And that's not just the monthly payments. That could be quarterly. Remember that some bills come quarterly. Some bills, like your perhaps your homeowner's insurance or different types of insurance, come once a year. So it's the monthly payment isn't necessarily a snapshot of your overall debt. So you definitely want to start writing it down. And like I said, not everything is going to appear on a credit report. So your homeowner's insurance and other insurance policies that you're paying on are not going to appear on your credit report. So it's a good idea to go through your bank statements from the previous year and highlight and write out what you've paid out and when you've paid them out.
Right,
so you can have a month-by-month assessment.
That's great. Didn't mean to interrupt you there, Leslie. We just got to take a break and go to news.
Okay.
We'll revisit this, though, because you're not going anywhere. This is a Leslie Tane Takeover here on this Tuesday. All questions about your debts, 312-981-7200. Get those questions in now. Break then the news on WGN. 720 WGN, Your Money Matters here on this Tuesday evening. By the way, our hometown, your hometown, will feature Homewood next Thursday. It's going to be a blast, and I can tell you that because I went and did the video last week, and it's a really cute village. The downtown's nice. It's got a lot of classic history to it. It's the oldest village, or one of them, in South Cook County. It's kind of got that country town feel, which is certainly true. Many people were drawn in the 20s because of its golf courses, which we visited, of course. If I go to a suburb and there's a golf course on your hometown, I'm going to swing. They got a horse racing park there as well. Anyways, it's next Thursday. You'll get to hear all about it. And it could be your hometown next. Go to WGNradio.com/your hometown to send in your suggestions. Your hometown featuring Homewood, sponsored by McDonald's, Homewood Disposal, and Katz Milinek, who is an accounting firm. And they're going to join us on Your Money Matters on Thursday. We're going to play Stump the CPA. So if you've got any interesting questions for a CPA, get ready for them on Thursday. Leslie Tane continuing our conversation now about debt on a Tane Tuesday Takeover, as we've named it. That's a good ring to it, Leslie, right?
I love it. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking about debt and how to tackle it. And we got a lot of questions during the news. I have one from the 847 that says, I have $11,000 in credit card debt and basically no emergency fund, but I just got a new job. I'll be able to save or pay down about $1,200 more a month. Should I put it all to credit card debt, or should I start building up some savings?
So in this case, I would recommend putting it towards both. Have a little bit of a cushion, especially since you're not starting out with anything as a cushion. And then, get to a point where you can put as much as possible towards paying down the debt. You definitely want to stay in budget, work with your new budget, and see what you're most comfortable with. But split the two and try to pay down the debt in a reasonable amount of time while at the same time building that emergency fund.
I do appreciate that this person knows exactly what they're going to be able to save or pay down a month. Seems to be that they have a handle at least on what their budget is and is going to be with the new gig.
Yep, I think that's great that you already know what's available and what's usable.
For sure. All right. 630 says, I have $5,000 in credit card debt. I'm having some difficulty managing anything more than a minimum payment. I have college loans. I have my mortgage, kind of barely making it all work. Some months I feel like I have to make some difficult decisions. So if I'm in a pinch, which debt is the most important? If I can't pay them all, which one is okay to, not okay, but which one could I not pay if I had to?
So let me first start out by saying that it's okay if you are in a position now where you're only making minimum payments. There's no stigma attached to that. So, you know, there's the goal is to pay more than the minimum payments. But if that's all that you could budget right now at this time, it's understandable and it's okay. As far as deciding which one is the most important to pay, your mortgage is a priority along with the credit cards. The student loan and the education debt, depending on the nature of that, whether it's a federal loan. If it's a federal loan, it's still in forbearance at this time. But if it's a private student loan, then that's something that I would have a conversation with the student loan servicer and find out what options that you have. Private student loans, you have a lot less options than you do in terms of forbearance and deferment than you do with federal student loans. Again, if it's a federal student loans and you're struggling, now is the time to reach out to the servicers, update your information, because they're going to come out of forbearance relatively soon by September 1st. And if you're struggling, you want to submit a request for income-based repayment so that you can get the payment obligation down to zero.
312-981-7200. If you got questions about debt, get them in now. We have one from the 708. I do have a lot of equity in my house, probably over $100,000. I have $24,000 in credit card debt. The rates are high and my credit score is lower than I want it to be. Should I work on raising my credit score, then get a home equity loan?
So now is definitely not the time. As if you follow the markets, then now is really not the time to refinance, especially if your credit score is low. But even with a really great credit score, the interest rates are higher than they've been in several years. So if you're looking at that as an option, that's something that I might put on the back burner and consider looking at options to pay down the credit card debt and reduce that. As you pay down the credit card debt, your credit score will come up. The one factor that goes into the credit scoring models is how much debt that you have. And the more you pay it down, the less that you add to it every month, the better the credit score becomes. There are options. If you're really struggling to pay your credit card debt, there are options and really good options to work through challenges through different types of programs. I mean, that would take a whole show in and of itself to talk about the different type of programs for debt resolution. But there are types of programs that can assist you that won't negatively impact your credit in the long run and don't involve borrowing. Now, really not the time to borrow.
All right. Well, I actually want to ask a little bit more about those resolution programs because I'm a little confused. We'll do that, though, in a moment. We got to take a look at weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld. This is a debt takeover program here today, joined on the line by Leslie Tain. And Leslie, I got another question from the 219. They want to know, is it worth the 2 or 3% fee to transfer debt onto a 0% interest card? I'm pretty confident I could pay it off in the 21 months. They'd give me 0% on it.
So it is worth it if you are going to pay it off during that time frame, and that 2 or 3% doesn't equal the interest that you would have paid on the card. So if you have a very high interest rate, it's likely that it's worth it. If you have on the lower single-digit interest rate, then you just want to make a calculation and see what that actual dollar amount is. But the most important piece of the puzzle is that you budget to pay that off. And my recommendation would be to make payments every single month on a 0% interest and not wait for the last month.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I would say start making those payments. What? You calculate what it is. You divide the total, divide by the number of months, maybe add a few dollars just to make sure you got your math right. And you just set that payment automatically. And if you can, cut up that card or put it in a drawer somewhere and don't use it. Just use that as your paying off the debt card, right?
Absolutely. And you want to make sure that a good piece of advice that you gave was to pay a little bit higher, because as you get closer to the end, if you have an unexpected expense or something comes up that interferes with your ability to make that payment, you're now ahead of the game.
Right. Can you explain the difference? Because I've seen this on cards and offers sometimes. Deferred interest. What is that?
So deferred interest versus interest-free?
Yeah, so like I've seen somewhere where they're like, you got to pay this in 15 or 21 months, and if you don't, you're going to owe all the interest that hasn't accrued but could have accrued. Am I reading that correctly?
You are, because what it is there is an interest rate attached, and the incentive is to pay it off before the end of the term. So it's really deferred, meaning like if you get to the end of the term and you haven't paid it off, that interest will be on the balance, on the original balance.
Ah.
You got to read the fine print and ask questions. When you take out that, definitely ask the lender, the bank, the store, wherever you're going for that, what does this really mean? And my recommendation is to take notes on that, because 15 months later, you won't remember what was told to you.
Yeah, for sure. 224, John, would appreciate you asking your guest to clarify best practices as it relates to credit rating. Should zero balance credit cards be canceled or left open?
So it depends on how many you have and what your credit score looks like. Canceling a credit card could only potentially drop your credit score by a small amount, but that small amount could make or break the difference between good, fair, or great credit. So you have to take a look also at the history of the card. That 0% card might be an old card that you've had for 10 years, and that is something that, from a credit history perspective, you want to keep open. So canceling cards in and of itself isn't a negative thing. It is in the social media, when you read a lot of articles, they say, oh, this is really bad to do that. But it's really one step back and potentially steps forward by closing certain cards. You don't want to have 26 cards.
Right.
So, and I have clients with 26 cards. So if you are looking at that and you have that many cards, you want to start closing some of those cards and narrowing it down to a few cards, paying those cards efficiently so that your credit score can come back up.
309 wants to know, should I ask for credit increases to change my debt to credit ratio, or my debt to the ratio of the debt I have?
Interesting question, because when you ask for a credit increase, they are going to check your credit and it will be a hard hit on your credit. So right at that moment when they check your credit, you're going to have a small reduction in credit scoring. If you add credit to it, believe it or not, that could also reduce it a little bit. Yes, the debt to income, the debt to credit ratio will improve, but if you are already at those numbers, the creditor could turn that down and other creditors could see that you are asking for increases and they could then make adjustments in your credit. So if you're looking to improve the credit to debt ratio, my recommendation would be to try to pay down the balances. Get that to a third or less.
Okay. Someone wanted to know this from the 847. I have plenty in my emergency savings. I've been able to save that up. I don't have credit card debt, but I did take out a healthcare credit card. It's zero interest. I'm paying it every month. Would it be better just to pay off the remaining $4,000 balance since I can, or is it okay to continue paying about $600 a month until the expiration of the 0%? I guess that's a personal what they prefer to have in the back of their brain, right?
That, and truthfully, it depends where your money is. So if your money is in a basic savings account, over the last several years, basic savings accounts weren't paying that much interest, but they were still paying interest more than the 0% on your credit, so on your credit card. So in some cases, you might be better off leaving the money in the bank or money market, whatever vehicle you have it in, that's actually earning money because you keep a higher balance. And you'll actually earn money by continuing to pay down the 0%. So in that case, it might make sense to continue to keep up the minimum payments on the 0% and keep as much money in the bank or whatever vehicle to earn money.
Makes sense to me. I'm just learning that most of it's psychological, or not most of it, but a lot of it is psychological, right? People look at
yes.
debt in so many different ways, and certain debts make people uncomfortable, certain make they're okay with it. It's really an individual no one-size-fits-all thing, right?
Absolutely. Everybody has their own individual debt DNA. It's from each and every single person, the way you grew up, what your values are, your background, your current job, your family situation. There are so many variables that go into the determination of what debt makes sense and how people feel about it. And over the course of your lifetime, your feelings and your attitude towards debt will change from the time that you're in your 20s to the time that you're in your 80s.
Yeah. Well, this was a great discussion. We answered so many questions. We appreciate all of our texters chiming on in. And Leslie Tane, we appreciate your advice.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Life and Debt, you can buy that, what, wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, stuff like that?
Yes, you certainly can. You can find it online at Life and Debt on Amazon, and you can just put it into your search engine and find Life and Debt book.
All right. Leslie, we'll have to do this again soon, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right.